You must be perfect, just as your Heavenly Father is perfect. And one way of becoming more perfect, and therefore holier, is to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Do not hold grudges against others. Do not bear vengeance. This weekend, the theme is forgiveness. Forgiveness is a marvellous ideal until we have to practice it. Then it becomes very, very hard. It's only the Christian church or the Catholic church that professes this belief. I say that because the teachings of the other main religions, Jews and Muslims, and teachings can be broken up into doctrines and morals, differ to ours. We do have certain teachings in common, that there is an all-powerful, all-knowing God, angels do exist, sin is a reality, heaven, hell. These are common, generic themes in main religions. But there's also unique characteristics of some religions. And of the Christian faith, we believe in God made man, the incarnation, that the second person of the Trinity became a human person. Well, not human person, but it took on a human nature as a divine person, God and man in the one reality, the one Jesus Christ. That's unique to us as Christians. So too is the virgin birth teaching, and the real presence of Christ on the altar during the sacrifice of the Mass. These are all unique. Only we, Christians, Catholics, profess them and believe them. Their doctrines regarding what we believe. There's also unique teachings on how we live. And perhaps the hardest is the one of forgiveness. Forgiveness. Even getting the words out are hard. The word forgiveness, giveness, and for, is all about what we do for others. It's not forgetness, but giving. Giving when we don't want to give because an injustice has happened and we don't want to give. The Jews didn't have to give. They had their own rules with regards to an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Justice, if you've taken something, let's balance it so it's all sorted. That was fine for them, but not for us. Because we have a God who has a wounded heart, who gave from the cross as he bled for us, and said to his Father in heaven, "Forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." Those words are also for us. They weren't merely for the soldiers. Forgive them. Forgive us. We caused his death. So from the cross, God is saying to us, forgive. I did, you too must. Give unto others. Forgive, forget, and move on. And that's a very hard ask. There's 3 points to bear in mind with regards to forgiveness. The first is that if we don't forgive others, and I presume you're innocent and they're guilty, if you don't forgive others, you shall not be forgiven. That's one of the 7 petitions in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our sins as, or in as much as we forgive those who sin against us. We're going to say that prayer within a few minutes, and that petition is real and it bites. Often we forget the word trespass means sin, and that conjunction as. We're making it a quality statement. God, forgive us inasmuch as I forgive others. So that's the first reason why we ought to forgive and not harbour grudges or vengeance, because we want to be forgiven by God. And it's conditional. We'll only get forgiveness from God if we give it unto others. The second point with regards this theme of forgiveness is that we can't do it on our own. We need grace. We need God's spiritual power to move the will. You see, it's not a feeling thing. You don't feel like forgiving the person who's done something terrible to you. It might be a family member, it might be a relative, it could be your boss, it could be someone down the road. You might still harbor anger. You might still, I can't even say the person's name. You're not asked to feel nice thoughts about him. You're commanded by God to move the will to make an act of forgiveness, to say a prayer for them, to think kind thoughts about them. These are willful acts, not feelings. Separate feelings from facts. The fact is, you must forgive, and only with God's grace and through God's grace are you able to do that. The third point with regards to forgiveness is this, that sometimes we can, with grace and prayer, forgive others. But do we forgive ourselves? I know many people who have done things and God has forgiven them, but they haven't taken that final step of forgiving themselves. Some years ago, I used to go into the jail, the prison camp, on a weekly basis. And there were those who, you know, had come back to the sacraments and would meet and greet me. There were others who would spit as I walked by and say words which I won't repeat. And I had forgotten. They were filled with such hate, not for Father Murphy, but for God. And if by a moment of grace they did come to you and seek forgiveness, the issue is simply they don't think they can be forgiven. It's gone for too long, Father. I've done too much. I can't be forgiven. No one will forgive me for what I've done. That's what they think. That's what they believe. These souls are in need of many graces. They're in despair. They're in despair of their salvation. They don't think God could wipe the slate clean. Remember Calvary? There were two thieves. We all steal from God. One responded to grace, the other did not. So we need to go in search of those who think they can't be forgiven and remind them that they can be forgiven. There's no sin that's not able to be forgiven. The only unforgivable sin is the denial of sin, or the belief that you can't be forgiven. Christ died for every sin, and the most horrific can be forgiven. So we pray for those who don't think that they are able to be forgiven, that they can, and with God's grace, let go and let God. One beautiful story of forgiveness of a couple that lived in Romania. They were both Jewish by birth, grew up as atheists, and then converted to the Christian faith. Richard and Sabina Wurmbrand. He died only in 2001. Their lives were extraordinary. You can Google Richard's life. He wrote a book called Tortured for Christ. He wrote 17 other books, but that's the most popular. They were persecuted during the Nazi regime, and then when Romania was invaded by the communists, they suffered much. He would spend 14 years in jail, prison camps. His body bore the wounds of the torture. And eventually, at a price, he was released, and he and his wife went to America, and then spent the rest of their life promoting the Christian faith and forgiveness. But it wasn't just talked about, it was lived. Whilst the Nazis had invaded Romania, there were certain Gestapo soldiers who were dispatched to go around the villages and to eliminate anyone of Jewish origin. On one occasion, I don't know why, but the Gestapos had taken over Richard Wurmbrand's house, and one evening, for social reasons, the captain in charge was talking to Richard. They were in the parlour, and they were talking about what had been happening, and Richard asked where he had been this last week, what villages he had cleansed, and the conversation moved on to God. Richard always brought the conversation back to God.
He said to the captain, "Do you believe in God?" And the captain said, "No. I was raised an atheist. I believe there is no God."
And then Richard started to talk about God. And the captain said, "Look, I didn't come here for this." And Richard changed the subject and then moved on to something else. And he said, "Do you believe that you can be forgiven?" And the captain said, "Look, forgiveness is something you Christians have invented. It doesn't really happen. It's a nice thing to talk about, but that's not a reality." And he became rather angry, and the mood changed. And Richard then said, look, have another drink. I don't think you've met my wife, Sabina. May I call her down?" Sabina came into the parlour, and Sabina walked in. She didn't look the best. Sadness had entered her life. And Sabina met the captain, and Richard stiffly said, "Sabina, I wanted you to meet the officer who commanded the troops to kill your mother, your father, and your four siblings." Her hands fell to her side, her head lowered. And with trembling arms, she lifted them and threw them around the neck of that German officer and said, "As God forgives you, I forgive you." She left and wept. Years later, that German soldier did find Christ and was forgiven. Sabina and Richard lived a very holy life, a very good life, and they knew the meaning of forgiveness. It's giving rather than getting. It's letting go and letting God into our lives. Praise be Jesus Christ.